Everyone in Wisconsin knows about such earthy things as manure. Some of us know more about it than others. It is fitting and proper that we share the benefit of our knowledge. There are obviously better ways to start off a book, but this one begins with a load of manure. Hop on, and we'll take a ride. In the winter, when the north wind turns your blood to raspberry sherbet and your bones are as brittle as Dresden china, there are long-fingered nights that poke at the past. There are silent hours that dig with ghoulish glee at the graves of long-gone days, and you skid back over the years like a toboggan, somehow hurtling uphill for another whooping run down the slope. Sometimes when this happens, I can hear the jingle of heel chains and the soft thudding of horses' hooves on the frozen snow. And then I'm back on a northern Wisconsin farm, crying wind tears at the frigid morning and holding the long leather reins to maintain a precarious balance on the back of a bobsled. Balance was important because the cargo of that bobsled was cow manure, and falling into it was not really a necessary part of a farm boy's winter morning. The daily run with the bobsled was my pleasure on Saturdays and Sundays when there was no school, and it is perhaps a sad commentary on my youthful character that I preferred hauling manure to sitting in a nice warm schoolhouse memorizing the capitals of the states. It is strange how some things once learned are never forgotten, even though decades may pass without any refresher lessons. So it is to this day I could harness a team of horses with perhaps only a minor fumble or two. That was the first step in the daily ritualistic run with the inglorious product of the gutters, to wrestle the harnesses down off their pegs and strap them around the patient horses. First came the collar pads and then the thick, hard collars, and then you wound yourself into the harness and flung it over the horse's back, extricating yourself and buckling things up from front to rear, Hanes, belly band, traces. Then you led the horses out of the barn one by one, snapped and buckled them together, and drove them over to the tongue of the bobsled. The neck yoke was fastened in place, and the heel chains hooked to the set of eveners, and you were ready to go. The horses obviously knew more than I did about hauling manure in the winter, and sometimes I got the impression that all they really needed me for was to fasten and unfasten snaps and buckles. They knew where to stand and when to stop and which way to turn. They were, of course, not just average horses. They were a perfectly matched pair of blacks named Prince and Queen, full brother and sister, and the cause of some pride to my horse-loving father. And, though they were smarter than I was, they never made a great to-do about it. There was a heavy crowbar out in the cow yard that you had to use to jar the sled runners loose when they were frozen down. If you forgot to do that, the wooden sled tongue might break when the horses lunged against it to start the load. It was always more of an adventure to make the morning manure run when a full-scale blizzard was howling down out of Canada, sweeping sandy snow across the lonely hills, clogging roads with razor-backed drifts, and blotting out the jackrabbit tracks in the pasture. Then you had to shrug into a blanket-like parka and turn your face away from the wind while the horses slogged, head down, out to the field. Once there, you had to use a cold-handled manure fork to spread the sled's cargo out over the snow. An obvious early lesson that you learn, with a little more unpleasantness than seems necessary, is that you never throw a fork full of manure into the teeth of a stiff wind, because if you do, you are the one who's going to get it in the teeth. Who needs that? There is something magnificent about the landscape of a farm that is buried beneath the shroud of a Wisconsin winter. To be out there on it, whether there is a blizzard or not, is to soak up the beautiful cold solitude until your heart feels like a melting snowball, and you stand and look at it until the horses crane their necks around to see what all the delay is about. Prince and Queen were wont to step out smartly on the way back to the barn, anxious, of course, to get back to their comfortable stalls with the mangers full of Timothy hay and a scoop or two of oats in the feed boxes. It was on the ride home that the heel chains jingled loudest and the bobsled bounced over the drifts like a cork in a running sea. You would come skidding around the corner of the driveway, doing a limber-kneed, puppet-like dance to maintain your footing on the slippery sled bottom, And then the horses would lean back and bring everything to a halt in a cloud of flying snow, stopping the sled in just the right position to start tomorrow's run. It was great. It still is, in retrospect, though. I suppose anyone who uses the long winter nights to summon up fond memories of hauling manure could be considered suspect. I don't care. I loved it. And I feel a little sorry for people who do not have such earthy memories. Theirs must be a long, dull winter.